day's a brand new morning since the morning you moved in.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you living in.
Wow, by golly, we're still at the farmer's market. We just can't get out of here. We love it so much. And Monica Wood has shown up. She's the manager. Well, she was here for a minute, but she'll be with us on the air. We'll talk a little more about what's going on out here. I don't want to talk about the biscuits right now because
man,
it's so hungry. Oh, you're looking for the biscuits, Rufus? They're not here.
All right, I'll make it.
Oh, there she is. There she
Hold
is.
Hold on,
here
have
she comes.
Patience.
Talk, talk, talk. Yep, she's talking to somebody, putting out a fire. Hey, while John's here, John Miracle is with us, and there's an association, I understand, Rufus, with Watergate here.
Yeah,
the
well,
tie that binds.
Well, he's the man who sort of lived around it up there when it was occurring, and also a dear friend of mine that he knows, who worked with me when I was Attorney General, who was a fine young man, and John is a student of history too. He's studied history. I know that much about him.
And he's learned from history.
I have.
Yeah.
But I was you know during the early 70s when I was in college, you know the Watergate was you know that was the only thing anybody spoke about during the time. You know the war had ended, and so that was the next big news story. And it was just really a fascinating time. And I remember John Dean spoke. I'm at the Marshall University. And he came and spoke to a packed house. But it was an interesting time. And it's a shame that people don't study history more like they used to. And most
that's
of
true. I don't. I wonder if they even teach it in school anymore, because I've noticed that the younger people who come into our shop they don't know geography and history the way that, say, Tony Rigsby and I do.
I just think it's a shame. I think probably most people under the age of 50 probably never heard of Watergate. And if they have, they don't know what happened.
Well, I walk into a room, John, and I'll say, give me a show of hands, say a Rotary Club, something like that. And about a third of them, when I say, does anybody here remember Watergate, about a third of them will. And then the other part say they've heard of it a little bit. And the very young, it sort of draws a blank, but you study history so you won't repeat the mistakes of the past. And just this past 2 weeks ago, it was 50 years ago, that Richard Nixon resigned, which was a very...
there are a lot of different anniversaries involved with Watergate.
Yeah, that was a very significant date. And I think you were right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was amazing. I still remember my mother, the day he resigned, said, we're in trouble. The world, the country is in trouble. Mm-hmm. I said, Mom, the country is fine. It'll bounce back. And, it was amazing to me. It wasn't that long later, because...
Isn't that amazing? A lot of people thought that the country would just become a banana republic.
Yeah.
Well, President Nixon...
the Cuban missile crisis and a lot of other things, too.
Our system worked.
Yeah.
It totally worked. John's right.
We survived.
Yes.
Well, and... but it was just an amazing time, that all that transpired. And... I came by today to say hello to Rufus because he and my friend John Thompson from Nitro, West Virginia, and had mentioned to him he'd work for him, and it's just a small world, and I a long time listener to the show, and I just wanted to come by and meet Mike and Rufus.
Wow,
and,
John, thank you so much. John says that I sound different on the show than I do on the news, and I do. Because I'm from Nash County, but my mother would say that I put on airs when I'm doing the news.
You're being the ultimate professional on the news. NCN News.
Oh, imitation is It's nice.
Yeah, that's right there.
Appreciate that.
But guys, I just want to thank you and I keep up the great work. I love the show, and I'll reach out to Kenny and tell him that I saw you. And but like I said, it's a great show, and you couldn't pick a prettier day to be held.
Oh no, my goodness!
This is Chamber of Commerce.
That's right.
It certainly is, and we're sending John home with a prize.
Yes,
but it's bat faced.
Yeah, bat faced Kufia, which
so that is the name of it.
Beautiful though.
Yeah, Kufia.
Thank you, John, for coming
by. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
It's nice.
You're a good man.
I'll try to enunciate all of the time. Like some of my colleagues have over the years, they always talk like that. I don't.
No.
I was born in Charlotte, but half of my family is from the West Coast in Canada. I always say Canada. And then the other part is
you don't
from
say
the mountains.
Oot, though.
Well, it depends on
where
I'm
at. Oh, you got
I'm
a little bit of that, huh?
If I go down and hang out with my grandparents who are from Canada, it is oot and boot the hoose. Or
oh, that's Southern Virginia, too.
Or if I'm hanging out with my friends from Scotland, the Scottish brogue just brings out this Canadian-ness. So. Yeah. But if I'm talking to all my people down in Lee County, my accent gets real,
there you
long,
go.
Real fast.
That's right. That's right. So,
it's accents change.
Nothing wrong with it. I love the Southern
Mike,
accent.
Your radio persona is what I call old-time broadcasting. And Howard Boney, the former district attorney in Wilson, North Carolina, used to imitate you. And that
what an honor. He's big time. It's very flattering.
That was flattering.
My friend Mike Wheelis on our sister station, QDR, used to have a character that was based on me. Sort of.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, he still imitates me. I mean, it's very nice.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery, right?
It is very flattering.
Yeah.
That somebody would want to do that. Howard Boney, huh?
Yeah.
That's quite a elegant family, storied Southern family.
Certainly
the Boneys.
Is. And
Wilson, Tarboro.
Wilmington.
Wilmington, yeah.
Very
lawyers, great journalists.
Architect. The Boney family has architects in there, lawyers.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful family.
Yeah.
But you're the epitome of a professional when you're doing the news. It never changes, no hoo-ha, this and that. You will never know what you felt about a subject, and that is the magic of a great denouncer, as my wife calls you folks, denouncers.
You know, yeah, I am. I was never really taught. I mean, when I got to WPTF, nobody offered, well, you need to do it this. I mean, they would tell you, you know, you need to maybe do it this way once in a while. But I had to watch and learn and practice. And, you know, if you don't make it, you don't make it.
Well, who in your career had the most influence on you at WPTF? When you pay that collage.
I think Bart Rittner.
Bart Rittner.
Yeah, because I was around him the most. But, you know, Osley and Dornberg, Hap Hansen.
Oh, I love
some of the news people. There were a lot of people. I was very fortunate that I was able to. But I have worked hard every day of almost 50 years at that place. Every single day.
So, well, as I said,
pays off.
The true merit is having a voice that, okay, I'm announcing the news. I'm not taking sides.
Yeah.
That's what makes a great, great
Well, I try to do that.
Yes.
And I try to do that with story selection. I mean, you do it with story selection, too. And, you know, it's not always easy to do. It's not always easy to be balanced.
Walter Cronkite, I remember the only time he broke down was when John F. Kennedy was killed.
Extraordinary time, yes.
He totally just broke down,
yeah,
and lost all control.
Well, and I, of course, you know, watched Cronkite and all of those. I mean, they were heroes too, Brinkley. And you find yourself with mannerisms and styles and pronunciation from some of those people too.
Well, I hope a lot of Sam Irvin rubbed off of me. Some of these corny stories I tell, Amanda, or these corny jokes, they come from hanging around.
Well, he didn't consider them corny, did he?
Senator Sam Irvin so long. No, he certainly didn't. And to me, they weren't.
Yeah, they're just stories.
I would stand in the, sometimes the back of the room, and I knew what words he was going to say next, and I would mimic him. Just with my
well, I'll tell you this, Rufus. You were always, you had that rolling chair, and you were always behind him. You were always, you knew where the camera was, and that's you know, good TV people know where the camera is.
Yeah, you got to see your camera. But anyway, Amanda.
Because you were always in the shot.
Anywhere you were in the Watergate room, you were going to get a shot in the camera, but I knew how to get the best one. That was get right between Irvin and
well,
Baker.
That's what they say.
That's what they say that you. Yeah. Hey. That you got plenty of that's so smart.
Right.
Especially for a future politician.
Yeah, positioning, right? That's what
Excuse
that's
me, I didn't mean to cough right in the microphone. There we go. I drank too much tea then.
You know, Amanda, I'm a recovering politician.
Are you?
Oh. Absolutely. I'm on about the 75th step out of 100.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's
Lord
arduous.
Goodness.
We're getting there.
What are you going to do with that cigar?
Well,
where'd your other cigar go?
I'm known to smoke a cigar occasionally, and I got one stashed on the way to the bathroom.
Okay, it's not on that hay bale over there. I was worried about
that.
Well. So, this, you know, it's kind of felt like fall this week.
Yes, it has.
Oh, I feel that breeze right now.
Yeah, and a couple of weeks ago, I bought my first Scuppernong grapes out here at the farmer's market.
Ooh,
and that,
yeah, they're early.
That's one of the things that.
Well, do you eat the peel?
Yeah, peel seeds. Now, I think, Monica, you don't eat the peel, do you? Or do you eat the peel of the Scuppernong? Yeah, see.
I eat the whole thing.
Sometimes yeah. Some of the varieties. Oh, are we on?
Yeah.
Good morning.
What did you think we were doing over here?
I thought y'all were just chit-chatting. I thought you were on break.
Well, that's the beauty of the show. We're always on break.
That's right. It's Saturday morning. We're just hanging out.
Oh, me.
Chit-chat.
I'm so glad to have you guys out today. It's always fun, and what a beautiful morning it is for you to be here. It's definitely a little bit of a tease that falls on the way, I believe, with the weather we're having.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, there's some of the fall things coming in. John from Long Hill Nursery brought some beautiful plants out, and he was also saying that next week there are going to be more plant vendors getting into fall vegetable and all the stuff. Coming in, and
yes.
Before you know it, pumpkins will be here.
Oh, definitely. I had people asking about pumpkins this week. So,
dear goodness.
They were asking
we
about
we were
pumpkins?
Having watermelon day, and I had people saying, do you have pumpkins yet? So,
Come on.
Yes. So,
slow down.
I know. It's funny. Everybody's ready to jump from season to season, but it flies by, though. But definitely pumpkins will be in here filling up this whole area. Just in a few weeks, probably by the third week or so in September, we'll have lots of pumpkins, mums, pansies, all the fall things. They'll be arriving.
I know, Monica, I remember when you introduced me to the Carolina Blue pumpkin. I didn't believe you.
Uh-huh.
So you said, okay, right down there. And I went, yes. And the nice lady gave me a Carolina Blue pumpkin.
Yes.
I'm still suspect about that.
Yeah. Well, you would be with your credentials.
I thought it was... You know, where's the NC State red one?
They're out
there. There is a red. There is one that has
oh,
a little
is?
Bit of a red tinge to it.
Not spray painted.
No, it's a little bit of a burnt orange, I guess you could say. But they consider it a red, kind of like the Carolina Blues. Not exactly Carolina Blue, but it's close.
There's one that UGA developed. It's called Blue Dog, and it's dog as in UGA dog, D-A-W-G.
But I've heard of yellow dog, but
no, blue dog, yeah. and it is it's almost Carolina blue, but it ain't shaped like a traditional kind of round pumpkin. It's more of a long squash like pumpkin, and that's the same as NC State one. But they make
count.
The best pies.
Okay.
They are the best pie making.
Okay,
way
pies
better than
good.
The round one.
They are. And I know I mentioned Watermelon Day, and I do want to give a shout-out real quick.
Well, this is a fourth place. Where's the first place one?
So our first place one is on display at the State Farmers Market Restaurant.
Oh.
And the second and third place are going to be traveling kind of around the state with Forge Produce, some of their customers. Forge Produce is always a sponsor, and so they award some of those big watermelons to some of their customers so they can display them for a few weeks in their store or maybe – you know, at one of their facilities. So, yes.
How do you lift them?
Well, we have a lot of power to help lift those. It took four to get those unloaded and loaded
yesterday. Oh, so it's people power.
Yes, and we had. There is actually, believe it or not, they have these special blankets that have been designed for this kind of thing, and you can use a blanket or a quilt or something like that. But these actually have a. They have handles on them, and they have like a cushion area in the middle to kind of keep them protected, and they have handles. And we actually invested in some of those a few years ago to help our guys out whenever we're having to load them and unload them for the weigh-ins and everything. So it's quite a thing to get it done.
Now, how much does that weigh? That says 1735. That is not...
173.
Okay. So, 173.5
Yes, 173.5.
I see the dot now.
And actually, our first place winner was 216.5 pounds, and that one was grown by Mr. Todd Dawson of Garner. And again, that's the one that's on display over at the restaurant right now.
That's what I weigh, Monica.
Well, Rufus.
Oh, Lord.
Well, you win the prize.
We weren't going to say
anything. We award you some pink glasses.
Yeah.
Well, you can enter the contest next year.
Let's dress
up as a watermelon. And I record my weight every morning.
Oh,
and it was 216 pounds.
How about that? You're the winner.
You're the winner. Oh, my goodness. That's pretty
spin
good.
Spin the wheel. What's that wheel for?
Spin the wheel. We're going to be giving away some prizes today.
Okay.
So anybody that comes by, you get to stop and spin the wheel. Got a few different little goodies to give away. And just come by and enjoy the market and visit with you guys and ask those garden questions. If you're listening and would like to stop by, please do so. We're located down at the event center area as you pass by the farmers area, and you'll see us down on the left, up under the little porch, as we like to call it, of the
Yeah, we're
center.
On the opposite side of the bathrooms.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good proximity there.
Yes, exactly. But I do want to thank all of our watermelon growers that did participate in this contest yesterday. They're like a family, and they do such a good job. And we had this one, and I decided to bring it up here today just to be on display. So that's
something
else you can do is stop by and see this giant watermelon.
Uh-huh.
And those guys travel all over everywhere doing those contests, and they do a wonderful job and have been doing it for many years.
All right, I need to take a call from Herb. He's in Hanging Rock. Hey, Herb.
Good morning.
Herb, how's Hanging Rock?
Great, great, great. How's everyone this morning?
It's perfect. What's the temperature there? Do you know?
Oh, it's 60-ish. High 60, high 60.
Wonderful.
Mike, I know this is a garden show, so I'll try to stick with it. I have two quick things. The first one that I want you to answer last is, after 70-some years, I've decided I like figs. And so my mother has a fig bush, and my aunt next door, and the birds and the raccoons and the possums and everybody are beating me to it. And so I'm looking to find the best fig that would work in the triangle area when I go back. So that's my second question. But the first one is, Rufus, you've been around a while. Did you ever come in contact with a man named John Ely?
John Ely.
I remember that name for some reason, Herb, but I'm not placing it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, John Ely was a political figure that was instrumental in the creation of the North Carolina School of Science and Math.
And oh, absolutely. So, when I was Attorney General, I met the man.
Yes,
I did.
And so when I was at the Hill studying to become an embryologist, I decided I would write the history of the creation of the formation of the School of Science and Math. So I wrote John Ely and asked him about it, and he sent me his speech in a manual about the creation of School of Science and Math. And so I have the original speech copy, and I guess before I die, I'm just going to give the dissertation and his copy to the School of Science and Math, because my kids will probably see it in my papers and just throw it away.
No, well, that's great, John. But I do Herb, remember John Ely? He was a well-known figure, and had he was great friends with the legislature, and he's the reason that we have the School of Math and Science, and I believe that was under Governor Terry Sanford, wasn't it, Herb?
I believe it was him and John Ely that got it together. And
yes,
so,
that's correct.
Yeah, it was a real political thing. So anyway, I thought I'd mention that. But anyway, I want to know what you would recommend for, I have one fig bush, but I want to get another one.
And I'm going to get some different opinions.
Yeah, do you know which variety you have?
Have no idea. It's my mama's variety.
Okay.
There have been a couple that have been like around, but Celeste and Brown Turkey and LSU Purple are probably the best performers in our climate.
What's the oldest? I'm thinking about his mother is down in Jamesville, which is near the coast, northern coast, and I don't know what she. Maybe a brown turkey.
Brown turkey probably is the worst.
Yeah, that's probably that's what's at the governor's mansion, the real big one. Rufus has Celeste. Yeah. I have brown turkey because I have one cutting from the governor's mansion plant.
I'm LSU Purple, and I ran into that when I was down in Mobile, but I've seen it in here in North Carolina. And if you're in the on the coast of North Carolina, LSU Purple is a purple fig.
He lives in Durham. Durham.
And it's marginal there. I would definitely go with more of a Celeste or brown turkey there. Or if you're on the cold side of Durham, there's another variety called Chicago Hardy that does really well in our cooler climates here in North Carolina. And I have seen that grow in in Chicago, but also in the northeastern United States. So should thrive in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, Herb, you mentioned all those.
We got about 15 seconds.
All those people and things that are eating your figs. The only thing that I can suggest is spray it with I Must Garden spray. That's the only.
An animal spray.
And beat them to it. Mm-hmm. You got to beat them to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pick some every day.
Yeah.
Yep. Keep it picked and get there early.
Thank you. Have a safe trip home. Always great hearing from you, Herb.
Yeah.
Bye. That's Professor Herb from Carolina, retired. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. All right, we're back at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. The time is really moving too quickly this morning. It always does on this show because we have so much fun. Celista. Hey, Rufus. Oh, yeah. We've got watermelon glasses for Rufus. We'll have to take...
Oh, my goodness.
We'll have to take...
Definitely got to get
You caught him right in the middle of that sandwich, though. I don't know. But he picked those things right up. That's good, Rufus. Wait a second. Let me get a photograph here. There we go.
We'll have to get him over there with the
water. Yeah, get you...
Is that good, or is that... That's kind of a smirk. I don't know.
There we go.
Yeah, wait a second. Let me get another one too because that was. Hey, Rufus. Oh. Rufus, look this way now. All right, there we go. That's good.
I like how breakfast is on the other side of his face.
Yeah,
too.
You don't go into court much anymore, do you?
No.
Okay, well that'd be good. That would. Order. I can hear the hammer striking.
Where did you get those?
All right. 919-860-9783. 919-860-WPTF. Celista Rufus says, I love listening to the show. I heard you mention Mr. Rufus' cookbook. Please tell me how to obtain. Well, these are vintage. They are from 1984 in a gubernatorial campaign. And I mean, there's nowhere to buy them. Maybe you should re-release them somehow, Rufus.
Well, I never put them up for sale.
I know. You were giving them away.
And I found a couple more. Is the person able to come by here?
If Celista, if you will come out here before 11, we'll give you a copy. Otherwise, I don't know. It's just kind of happenstance, as I used to call Hap Hansen. So I don't know. At any rate, we'll figure this out for you, Celista. You know, it's a great cookbook. It didn't have persimmon pudding recipe, but it's not a real thick cookbook, but it has some great recipes in it.
Yeah, there's some things in there that I've never seen before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all my family members in there. And big portions, as you can see in most of them, because it was a family of five boys and one girl.
Right.
Where my mama was cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of funny pictures in there to see what I looked like 40 years ago.
Well, that's the only answer I have.
Well, how do we get this book to that nice lady?
I don't know.
Is she on the radio now?
No, she just... she got me on Facebook Messenger, and so.
Well, maybe we can mail it to her.
Maybe so. Why don't I mail it to her? If Celista, if you'll give me a mailing address, and I'll write her that, then I will mail this to you. Since you're the first person to ask. So we'll do that.
Yeah, and we'll.
I'll take charge of this.
I'll certainly need a spelling of a name.
I'll mail it.
I know how to spell Celist.
Celista. It's a nice name.
Well,
let me put this over there so you can see it. And isn't that nice?
Y'all are so delightful.
Communication.
Hey, the benefits of communicating with us.
I know.
We try and reward folks who show
up. We don't
up.
Do that in broadcasting a lot unless we're paid and on the air.
My Joe, my husband, just messaged. He said he's from Pamlico County.
That's Mr. Bratcher?
That's Mr. Bratcher. he just messaged me and said Janesville's definitely a brown turkey, so...
Okay. All right.
I trust
Herb. Brown turkey. Get you a brown turkey. I don't know what you have. He said he wanted another one. I don't blame you. And the figs don't stay there very long.
No, they're very edible.
I know.
By everything.
I have mine in a terrible place. It didn't get enough sun, and it doesn't grow right. But that's just the way it is. And when they come on there, I grab as many as I can. And then as I get out and walk in the afternoon, I have a little time where I walk a couple miles every day, and I'll grab one of those, little pep-me-up.
I have a question. Do we have any pawpaw vendors here?
Oh, yeah. You know, I Mr. Curtis has had me writing garden articles every week here for months, and I wrote one this past week about pawpaws.
Oh, yeah.
And that is such an interesting... Johnny Coley has a pawpaw patch up in Granville County. I guess it's in Granville. And he gave me some pawpaws when I was up there sometime about this time last year. And that, now they've been fruiting, and you could pick them now. But they have a very distinct flavor and fragrance.
Yes.
And you know, it's sort of like a banana, but it's not exactly like a banana. Mango, some people compare it to.
Yeah, mango and banana and something. There's like something else there behind it, and that texture is just
I think it's peanut. I think it's peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
My taste, yeah. Mango, banana, and a little bit of peanut butter is how my taste bud.
I haven't thought about that.
A little bit of a bitterness on the end there.
We cut them. You kind of cut them in half long ways, and you scoop them out.
Yeah.
And that's all we did. The next time I get my hands on some, we'll try making something with them.
You know, I've heard people make bread with them. Like they're really good for.
I think that's what Johnny and his wife make.
But. I don't know. I love eating them fresh. After traveling in Central America, there are a lot of things that family, Annonaceae is what it's in, and our pawpaw is the only species that's native north of Mexico, really. All of its other relatives are tropical and mostly in Central and South America and a couple other places around the world, but the chirimoya, the guanabana, the custard apple is really kind of the other common name for them. And, man, that is like one of the things I look forward to when I go back to Central American countries is getting some of those.
Well, our state did an article some time ago.
Yeah.
Up
Wilkes County.
Yeah, the pawpaw patches up in Wilkes and also near Banner Elk.
Stokes County does a pawpaw festival, that area around there, around Stokes.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just started that a couple of years ago, the extension office up there.
Yeah. Nobody else has got a pawpaw festival around here. That's so nice.
We have a pawpaw vendor at the Sanford Farmers Market, but he's only there for 3 weeks out of the year.
Well, they probably have it. Monica, do y'all have pawpaws here? Let's see if I can get that on there for you.
I know that in the past, right across there, Mr. Roger Woodard has had some pawpaw trees before. And I very rarely see, actually, the pawpaw fruit for sale. Once in a while, you might find some. But you can definitely find the trees. And he may have some today. He's usually here. Right now, he's here on the weekends. And in a few weeks, he'll be here again every day to the week. So you can come out and check with him and... He's got lots of different fruit trees over there. I do know that.
But he didn't. Nobody ever sells the fruit.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
He may bring some in once in a while, but he's got kind of.
Well, he doesn't have a lot of shelf time for one thing.
No, that's why they're only there for 3 weeks out of the year. You pick them that morning, you sell them that day,
a fig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a few figs coming in sporadically. We've seen a few coming in throughout the area, and so you'll find those. The muscadine grapes, of course, are popular right now. It's definitely season for those.
Yeah, I love
and
them.
Apples, we're starting to see more and more apples coming in. Some of the ones I've got over here today are Galas, and they're absolutely delicious. I had one yesterday, and we still have peaches. We still have watermelons and cantaloupes, corn, squash, tomatoes, lots of tomatoes right now, all the different varieties. We do still have peppers. From the sweetest to the hottest. And if you've never come out and just looked at them, they're just a pleasure to look at and just so beautiful. If you like doing photography, it's a great place to come to get all those colors and to get some beautiful photos. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we do have, I think I mentioned peaches already, but we do also have baked goods and fresh salsa, local honey, a lot of different plants, like some of the varieties that have been brought over here today, some of the rutabaga and coneflowers, the limelight hydrangeas, eucalyptus, and we have some house plants, succulents, and just a great variety of different shrubbery that you can plant if you're looking to add something to your landscape right now.
You didn't have any butter beans on Monday here.
Butter beans are pretty scarce right now.
I hate to hear that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think they're quite finished. I think we'll still have some later crop, but good. I tell you, this weather has been a deal
real
with our
challenge.
Farmers. They had, and it depended on what area they're in. They had that really heavy drought, and then they've had a lot of rain all at one time. And so they're dealing with a lot, and they're trying to. I had somebody telling me they were getting their watermelons out of the field, and oh, gracious, I can't even remember how they said they were doing it now, but it was a challenge with everything they were having to do. Basically, I think they had to have a tractor pulling the vehicle they were loading onto they were literally having to pull it through the field because it's just so muddy.
Yeah.
And they were having to, you know, do it differently what they usually do.
Well, I got a suggestion there. Like we used to have before tractors in Boone, a horse and sled.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may have to go back to that, right? Which I don't know. Those horses will probably have a tough time right now in some of those fields, but because in some areas it's still very muddy. Mm-hmm. But
what if anybody has any workhorses anymore, Monica?
There are some. Mm-hmm. I have seen. Actually, I visited a farm last. Oh gracious, where? I'm trying to think of when it was. It was been several months ago, but it's up around the Newbern area. And right now, the name of the farm has left me. But they actually still have some workhorses, mm-hmm. and so there's some that are that still do that. And it's really a neat practice and a neat thing to see and learn the history of how it all started.
When that's what it was only.
Yes.
I occasionally find somebody in the springtime driving out in the country roads in Watauga. And you'll see a horse with a person plowing the field with a horse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the time when we did all of our mowing, a team of horses, everything before.
What kind of horses? So you had horses, mules?
We had horses. We never had a mule when I grew up.
What kind of draft horse?
A draft horse called Belgian Suffolk, I believe was
the big old boy.
The name of it.
Girl.
Suffolk. Yeah. And old Bill was the one that would bite you if you didn't watch it. When you, he didn't like throwing
old Bill.
Old Bill, he didn't like throwing that harness on.
Oh me, he knew what was coming a long way ahead.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of work.
I better.
They're amazing animals.
I better go, Terry. She's gonna whip us, Terry.
The Suffolk Punch. Gosh,
isn't that a big? That's a big horse.
That is a muscle. That is a muscle.
It's like a Clydesdale.
Yeah.
But.
Hey, stop. Terry, you with us?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on?
I've been listening to you guys a long time. Got a
call. Well, I hope it hadn't been a arduous journey.
No, it's been very interesting.
Thank you.
Informative.
Thank you.
A couple of pine trees I had to cut down in my yard, and all the sawdust and debris from that, I've tried to rake it out. Putting grass seed down this fall, is there anything I need to do to that area where all that, I mean, you know, it's hard to get rid of all of it. Should I blow all those debris out of there, or is it going to affect putting...
Right. You don't want that raw sawdust there. It needs to work itself into a good rot, and I think you need to get a good strong blower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got definitely. A blower. And blow it out real good. I mean, because if I leave it there, I guess it's going to affect, because I'm not getting new grass. I'm just reseeding some, but because they dropped a lot of the limbs and logs on the grass, and so it's going to be kind of a hard pull this fall probably to get my grass going, because it's still got about a month away, I guess, done before I can put some seed down.
Well, we're usually the first, kind of the beginning of September to the third week of September is about like that golden period for the Piedmont, if that's where you're at, and if you're doing fescue. You know, that's really what that's the time period for fescue. And anytime you're trying to establish or reseed, you always want to make sure that that seed has good contact with bare soil or just the soil in general. So that's why mm-hmm. raking back that material. Now, that'd be great to put in a compost pile or, you know, in the woods or something where it can break down. But you need to have that good seed to soil contact when it comes to turf grasses.
Yeah, I've raked quite a bit, and I think what Rufus mentioned is when I'm probably going to have to blow a lot of that out. It's not not a great big area, but I didn't want to just leave it there. I don't think it would the seed would have germinated real well with all that sawdust from those pine trees.
Not at all.
Okay, well that was my main question. I kind of thought that, but I wanted to kind of clarify with you.
That's fine. You're always welcome, Terry.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I enjoy store. I listen to that store. The show.
Well, you know, it is kind of a store. At least it is this morning. We aren't selling anything. We're giving everything away. But it's kind of a. It's a good analogy. It's kind of like an old country store where people are sitting around talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like to listen to the politics from Rufus too. That's interesting.
Yeah, he throws that in.
Yeah.
We kind of limit him. But
I enjoy that. I enjoy both areas, all areas. It's very interesting. You don't find shows.
Yeah, there's that.
No, you don't. You do not find. I'd be surprised if there was a show like this anywhere in the country.
Well, what Mike is talking about is the legal term, Terry, called de minimis. That's what he, when I get to talking too much, he mumbles de minimis.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means. I can't even spell that.
Little of nothing.
Hush. Like your mama used to say. All right, Terry, thank you very much.
Well, thank you all for the information, and you all have a good rest of the day. Good show.
Thank you. I hope you do, too. Okay. Jason, do we need to take a break, or are we good? Okay, let's go to Ray in my hometown, my old hometown, Nashville. Hey, Ray. How's it going, Ray?
Doing good. I just wanted Rufus to know that last time I seen him, I was talking about pumpkins, tomatoes, and we had many that were good, and we went ahead and put together a Rufus sandwich with tomatoes, and it came out wonderful. So he's quite the inspiration when it comes to
now what all did you go on that, Ray? What was it again? Tomato sandwich?
Well, we took our mayonnaise on it, and we put our own like little salt and pepper stuff on. But we make sure that when we ate it, you said that we're supposed to have a little bit of juice coming down our.
Oh, absolutely! Yes, you have a little bit running down your chin.
Yeah,
that's
don't let it get to your shirt.
That's a good tomato sandwich.
Yeah.
So, but the tomato looked beautiful and all, but then at the last when they're kind of pooping out, Pumpkin said some of them were splitting and everything. I didn't quite know what that was about, but I guess that happened towards.
Well, I think it's too much water. That's where they cracked. Most of mine did crack. Well, what about that, Amanda? Would all that rainy spell we had make
too much
crack?
Water too fast?
Too much water too fast, and also a lot of times with all that rain, it washes the calcium out of the soil, which causes that blossom end rot. So you get it from both directions on the fruit. But unfortunately, we had a lot of that this year because it also happens when we went from that cool period, that also affects calcium intake. So we saw kind of a weird resurgence of blossom end rot very briefly around Debbie. So hopefully, though, the tomatoes are starting to look good again because we've had some really nice, good weather for it. And the farmers know to put out some extra calcium to keep that blossom end rot at bay.
We met John and his wife in Nashville in April when we were there at the Extension Service.
Oh, yes. Yes.
John has some greenhouses that he has put up.
Yeah, John, I thought that was one of the neatest complexes there around that
I know, it's lovely.
Building. And there was some strange contraption back
there. I
know,
it was an implement of some type over there.
Did anybody know what in the world it was? It looked like it might be something where you would plant tobacco plants or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. A lot of extension offices work with the NRCS, and they will rent out equipment, so they have cedars and setters.
Well, this looked like it was from another century.
This was ancient.
It was rusty.
Oh. Yes.
Oh. John, did you see it?
Oh, yeah, we see it all. We go down there where we vote, and that's where we do all of our county stuff, and so we see it frequently.
No, we're talking about this old-timey instrument that's sitting back there off to its side.
It wasn't a tractor. It was something. I don't know if you hook it up to a tractor. It was behind the Extension Service where we were broadcasting. I don't know if you went back there or not.
Yeah, I remember seeing, but I don't know what it
is. You don't know what it is either.
No. I did do that.
I wish somebody would tell me what that is.
Well, I have to ask. I don't know if Colby. Oh, surely we asked him.
Colby would know.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him.
I'll find out next time I'm out there. I'll say, hey, I demand an answer here.
All right, you're our emissary, Ray.
I just throw Rufus' name around there, so we'll get right
there. You go. Yeah. Throw it around. Throw it around with some of
that might be a manure,
tomato juice.
That might be a manure spreader.
That's why you recognize it right off.
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's one thing that manufacturers won't stand behind.
or a mad mule, or old Bill. Bet you old Bill would kick too.
Oh yeah.
Hey Bob, all right. Paul, give me that beta information. That's what we saw, but I wanted to hear it from the man. So get the
yeah. Well, he's the man.
There's no doubt about that, and my brother Joe was especially good at that. Running right down his chin.
Enjoyed meeting you all that day in Nashville. I appreciate you all being there.
Well, we're coming back next year around the same time.
Well, good deal. Good deal. Well,
yeah, man.
We'll have all the information for you then.
All right, buddy.
Well, if you got a year now to find out about that.
Yeah, it ain't no excuse, Ray.
It looked like an instrument of torture of some kind.
Oh, I'll get on it, buddy.
All right, now.
Y'all have a good day.
Take it easy. Sounds like a my Aunt Oralee's country store near Lewisburg. Very much like that.
Oh, yeah.
We only got about a minute and a half here for y'all to do something. But do you want to talk more about the lawn? We're not too far away from seeding lawns.
Oh, no. This is definitely the time if you're doing any fall reseeding or trying to reestablish any tall or
now's a good time to clean up.
Yes, this is the prep time. This is definitely you are in prep time mode because that September is go time. So mid late August is when you need to be like planning for getting your fall turf grass sown.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of prep, yard cleanup, get your fertilizer, get your seed ordered, make sure you got your soil prepped, get your soil tested. Remember, it's free soil testing in the state of North Carolina between April 1st and November 30th. Every extension office in the state has free soil testing boxes and forms. A lot of them will mail it in there for you. So please, 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 for the love of goodness, for every extension master gardener and extension agent out there, please test your soil before you do anything in your garden. It saves us a whole lot of trouble and you a lot of trouble. You can do a lot of really good stuff for your plants just by getting your soil tested.
Okay. We'll be back for another hour of the week. I don't know where 2 hours just went. But,
I know, right?
One more hour of the Weekend Gardener today from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.